Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can open up to Psalm 34. Let's just pray over the word tonight. Father, we are so thankful for the word that you give to us in which you reveal yourself. You speak to us, God, and tonight we just want to honor you and your word. And we say that we have come here to minister to an audience of one tonight, and that is Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Lord, that you would be honored in your word, that we would have ears to hear what you would want to say. And beyond that, God, that we would have hearts ready to respond, that you would change our lives tonight by your word for your glory alone. In your name we pray, amen. Well, our title tonight is Taste and See. Have you ever had someone try to convince you to taste something, saying, just trust me, you'll enjoy it, I promise, but you haven't quite been convinced that it's going to be as good as what they are telling you it's going to be? If you have children, it is interesting to watch their taste buds develop or not develop, as it were. Just by looking at something, they are convinced that they will not like it, even though you tell them, I promise you, you will like it. Well, my husband is another great example of this. When we first were married, we would go to family dinners where his grandma would bring to dinner delicious pickled beets. Yum, exactly. Pickled beets are delicious. I'm from the East Coast where pickled beets are on the table almost three meals a day. And so at these family dinners, there were only a few of us that would partake of these delicious pickled beets, and my husband was not one of them. And I was so surprised when I first found out that he did not like pickled beets. And I looked at him and I said, how do you know that you don't like them? Have you actually ever tasted them? To which he looks at me indignantly and says, yes. When I was little, I tried them and I don't like them. And I said, okay. For years and years, I tried to convince him to just try them again. Our palates changed. Try them again. I promise you'll like them. Well, I'm sad to say that he did not believe me. He would not taste them again. And even my children, they were convinced without even trying them that they were not going to like them. And then something happened. 2 weeks ago, my family went to the farmers markets. And my children and my husband, they purchased these fresh pickled beets, supposedly for me. Lord bless them. And later that day, lunchtime, I walked into the kitchen, and lo and behold, what did I see? All three of them with their own bowls of pickled beets, eating my pickled beets and loving them. Just goes to show you that sometimes we need to try things again, and you'll never know if you will like them. It is true that we can look at something and can wonder if it's going to taste good, if it's going to work out or be as good as someone tells us it's going to be. This expression, taste and see, goes together for a reason. You can watch someone experience something, and you can begin to hunger after it. You can begin to thirst after what they are experiencing. But you won't really be satisfied until you have experienced it yourself. And God commands our faith to be in action. He admonishes us to taste of him, to experience of his goodness, and then we will see his glory. And in the world, people often say, well, I will believe it when I see it. But the word of God tells us you will see it when you believe it. Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. David spends a lot of time running for his life, literally, in the Bible. And God always looked out for him. He always watched over him and saved him as David placed his trust and took refuge in him. And he wrote this Psalm 34 as a testimony of this. He admonishes us to put our faith and our trust in him, to take refuge, to taste of his goodness and his power, and we will see God move in our lives. Number one tonight is be positioned to taste and see. In the natural, we have different taste buds. What tastes good to me might not taste good to you. But in the spiritual, the word of God fits every single palate. It is faithful and true to every situation, to every family, to every person, no matter what is happening. But it requires a faith. It requires a trust. It requires open ears, open minds, mouths that proclaim, I desire to receive from the Lord. He responds to lives that are positioned to receive from him. Hebrews 11, verse 6, in the Amplified Version, it reads, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. You see, we cannot be those people who say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. It is contrary to what the Word of God teaches us. God responds to faith. He responds to the believing spirit first. He rewards those who believe that he exists and who diligently seek after him. The verses surrounding Psalm 34:8, they speak to the ways in which we are to position our lives to taste and see the Lord's goodness. I will extol the Lord. His praise will always be on my lips. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord, they lack no good thing. Come, my children, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. You see, the only thing that truly satisfies in this life is tasting of the Lord's righteousness and his holiness. But we must be those who position ourselves to taste of his presence and his promises. David just taught us what this positioning looks like in our lives, praising the Lord at all times, growing in a holy fear and a reverence of him, turning from evil, not speaking lies, but doing good, seeking peace and pursuing after it. When we position ourselves in these ways, it says that the eyes of the Lord are upon us. His face is turned towards us, and he delivers us and protects us. And it is then that we are able to taste of his promises and see his glory. Cast down any pride. We must cast down any doubts, worries, or questions and believe in the Word of God. We must position ourselves in humility, walking in a holy fear, surrender to the ways of the Lord so that we can taste of the Lord's goodness, that we can taste and receive of his refreshing rains, taste the floods of his love and his mercy that he wants to pour out. I pray that we would be those who are able to open the gates of our lives that the Lord may be able to pour in. Number two, taste the bread of heaven. The word taste in Psalm 34, it means to eat, but it also means to perceive. And there is a spiritual bread of heaven that the Lord is admonishing us to perceive as well as to partake of. And this bread of heaven is the only bread that will satisfy the spiritual hunger that every single person has within them. In John chapter 6, starting at verse 22, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. And then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? How our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Jesus fed these people with his bread, and they were full and satisfied. And it says that they came seeking, looking for more, thinking that it was this natural bread that had filled them, when in fact it was Jesus himself who was satisfying their hunger. And he's teaching them a lesson here, that even though they see him, they still do not understand. They still do not believe in him. And then they ask him, well, what must we do then to work the works of God? And Jesus simply says, you must believe in the one whom God has sent, which is he himself. And then they ask this question, what sign will you perform then? What miracle will you do? What will you do that we may see it and believe you? And you know, this mindset is in the world today. This mindset is still in some believers, even today, that I will believe it when I see you move. I will follow you when I see you move. I will serve you. I will attend church more when I see you move. And this is not the word of God. He says, you will see me when you believe. You will have everlasting life when you believe. I will move when you believe, when you get up and move. Jesus responded by saying to them that the heavenly bread their fathers ate in the desert, it did not come from Moses, but it came from God himself. And as the people are listening to Jesus, they are starting to receive this truth, and they begin to hunger for this spiritual food, and they ask Jesus, Lord, please give us this bread from heaven that you were talking about always. And Jesus presents the gospel message to them in verses 35 and 36. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me and believes shall never hunger or thirst. And you know, Jesus presents himself to every single one of us in our lives, and he calls us to believe. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but labor for the food which endures to everlasting life. We all know of people who are hungry. We all know of people who are eating the wrong food, and they're still hungry. They're still empty. They're still lonely and lost. Jesus is the bread of heaven, and the word of God is our spiritual bread that we must partake of every day in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3 and 6 to 10. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to test you, to know what was in your heart. He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Therefore you shall keep the commandments, walk in his ways, and fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a land of fountains and springs, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Man shall not live on the natural bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our spiritual bread from heaven is the word of God, the very teachings, the very presence of Jesus Christ himself. And it says that God will humble us. He will test us to reveal what is actually in our hearts. He will even allow us to hunger. But he will feed us from his word if we are obedient and faithful to him. And his promise to us is this, that when he feeds us from his word, he causes this spiritual food to multiply in our lives. Will you position yourself tonight to believe? Will you taste the bread of heaven? Faith comes first. And faith comes by hearing, receiving, and speaking the word of the Lord. How will you choose to taste this bread of heaven? You see, we can taste the word of God and we can spit it out. Or we can taste it and digest it. We can receive it. We can allow it to change our character and multiply within us. And before David admonishes us to taste and see of the Lord's goodness, he said in verse 4 of the Amplified Version, I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. And you know, the truth is tonight that you can taste of sin. You can taste of the world. You can choose to taste and walk your own path, not following God, not serving God. You can taste of your own fleshly desires, and you will see where it will leave you. It will leave you broken. It will leave you lonely, hurt, confused, empty, still hungry, still thirsty. It will leave you further away from the presence of Jesus Christ than you were before you tasted and saw of the earthly life. We must crucify our fleshly desires until the Spirit of God, until Jesus Christ himself is formed within us. We need to be a church. We need to be a people who say, I will taste of the bread of heaven, of the word of God, until it becomes as a very extension of my life, of my being, until there are no more compromises in my life, until the enemy flees from my life in fear, because the word of God is living and active and powerful in our lives. Jesus defeated the devil by saying, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we need to take up this afresh in our lives. We need to taste of this afresh in our lives. The heavenly bread satisfies and multiplies. It fills. It guides and protects us. It holds the keys to the kingdom. And it also teaches of the saving power of God's mercy. I want to share a story with you that I recently heard of a 14-year-old boy who experienced this saving mercy as he tasted of the Lord for the very first time and saw his miracle power move in his life. This is his story. I was a boy who was bullied and teased a lot, not only by students at my school, but by teachers as well. This was mostly due to my weight and my introvert personality. My mom pulled me out of junior high and enrolled me in homeschool. And during that time, I did a lot of online research in order to complete my assignments. One day, as I was preparing a paper, my eye caught a title on the screen which intrigued me. It was about God's existence. I needed to check it out. I started reading and I couldn't stop. It felt as if God wanted me to find him. I went on reading other links, and the more I read, the more I needed to know this person. The thoughts of heaven and afterlife kept coming back to my mind. Something new was born in my heart, and at that time I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. My mom had a Bible, and although it always sat there, this time I couldn't ignore it. I started reading it. The words of Jesus struck me like a lightning bolt. Then and there, I gave my life to him. He found me in my loneliness. He told me he loved me, and no matter how I look or what others say about me, he wants to be my friend. And since that day, I have found the best friend, and this friend's name is Jesus. And since that time, this young man has gone on a journey of self-reflection and appreciation. He's lost over 50 pounds, taught himself to play the piano, started writing songs with meaning, and he has reconnected with his natural father who is separated from his mom. He has big dreams, and he looks forward to his God-designed future, all because of his friend named Jesus. A teenage boy was spiritually thirsty and did not even realize it. But he positioned himself with a humble heart, with a believing spirit, and he began to taste of the word of the Lord. He met Jesus, who has changed not only him, but the relationships in his life as well. And Jesus tonight invites every single one of us to taste of him. And I want to ask you, where is your spiritual hunger at tonight? Can you feel the spiritual hunger burning within you for the very voice of God to speak to you, for his wisdom, for his very presence to meet you? Taste the word of the Lord. Taste about his wisdom and how to raise your children. Taste his word and how to find peace, how to find the strength. Taste his word and how to trust him, how to love him, how to serve him. Taste his word and see that he is in control, that your very life, your future is in his hands. I challenge you to taste of his holiness in his word that will preserve your life, that will protect you, that will guide you. May we be those who taste of the heavenly bread. Man must not, will not, shall not live on the natural bread alone, but he shall live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that it would change us, that it would stir us, that it would cause us to move and step into his purposes, that his kingdom would come, because we are people who are full of his word, who taste of his word, who are hungry for his word. Number three tonight, the final thing is see and open heaven. After we position ourselves and we taste of the heavenly bread, we will see an open heaven. An open heaven, very simply, is God's favor shining down upon us. It is his very voice. It is his blessing. It is his provision and his presence living amongst us. The Amplified Version of Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord our God is good. How blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him." And God's promise to us tonight is that we will see an open heaven of his blessing and his favor when we taste of him, when we look upon him, when we give our attention to him. And there is a principle of obedience, as there always is, connected to seeing this open heaven in our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 2 and 12, "The Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." How many want the blessings of God to overtake you? "This will happen," it says, "because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your lands in its season and to bless all the work of your hand." You see, a believing and an obedient spirit causes God to open the heavens, where he pours out a spiritual rain and he blesses the work of our hands. And this obedience is evidenced in our lives when we taste of his word, when we digest it, and when we allow it to change us. What will we do when we hear and receive the word of the Lord? Will we apply it? Will we ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher? Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is powerful, and it reveals the deepest, most inner parts of every thought, of every attitude within us. And the purpose of the word of God revealing these things to us is so that we can be changed, is so that we can be filled with the glory of God, so that we can be used by him, that we can draw closer to him. We will see his glory, but we must taste his word and allow it to change us first. Psalm 119, verse 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And you know, as the Lord's words become sweet to us, church, it should cause our own words to be sweet as well, to be led of the Lord in every relationship in our life. I want to share this story with you. The teenage boy that we heard of earlier, after he tasted and saw the Lord's goodness in his life, he felt this stirring towards his grandfather, who did not know the Lord, and he was in his dying months recently. It was his birthday, and so this now 16-year-old wrote this letter to him that said this, I wanted to wish you an early happy birthday, but the main reason I'm writing to you is because I have found a friend in my life, and he's come to be my best friend. He has done me wonders and good upon good. I talk to him every day, and I truly believe in him. He is my savior, my friend, and my father. I know you have heard of this person in your lifetime. I know you have heard about his justice and his mercy, but I don't know if you know who he truly is. The friend I refer to is Jesus Christ. Ever since I've come to truly know him, I have come to know his word and his plan that he has set for me. I believe he has set that plan for you as well and for each and every one of us. Coming closer to him has been a journey full of repentance, grace, mercy, and love. I promised myself long ago that I would never force or fully let upon someone about Christ. And now I realize I was wrong to think that. For I don't know how long you have to live, nor do I know how long any of us have. I've always wanted to be in heaven with God and with my entire family. And the closer I get to God, the closer I get to the understanding that my hope may not be so. I pray that you find your peace with my friend Jesus, and I pray that you will give your life to him as I have. It doesn't matter how old you are or what you've done. All that is clear is that with one single prayer and one single talk to Jesus, you will be in his presence. I don't know if I'll ever see you again in person, but I believe I'll see you at home, in which that home is heaven. And I know many people have come to you about this speech, but I hope you realize that I have come to be bound by this speech. And I pray that's enough for you to truly realize the works of God. I will pray for you and I won't stop praying for you. I love you endlessly and I know I'll see you again at the place I call home. This teenage boy felt the Lord drawing him, and he chose to position himself with a believing spirit. He read about this man named Jesus. He tasted of his word and he changed his ways. He softened himself towards a broken relationship with his father and he began to allow the Lord to heal him. And as he tasted of the Lord's goodness in his life, he began to see an open heaven. The spiritual rains began to pour upon his thirsty soul. But he did not keep these spiritual rains for himself. He felt a stirring to share about this man named Jesus Christ, about this friend. And as we close tonight, I want to leave us with this thought. Tasting the word of God in our lives should add a holy flavor to us. As we taste of his word, as we see his heavens open over us, there should be a deep stirring within us to lead other people into their own tasting and seeing experience of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things that we can encourage people with, one of the greatest things that we can teach people with in our lives is about the presence of Jesus, is about drawing close to him, is about tasting of his Holy Spirit and seeing the glory of God in their lives. May we be stirred towards that tonight. Let's have the worship team come at this time. The disciples said in Luke chapter 24, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" These disciples, they had the amazing privilege of walking with Jesus Christ himself. They tasted of him every day. They experienced him. And Jesus would open the scriptures and he would teach them. He would impart the words of truth and his Holy Spirit into their lives. Their hearts burned, it said, as Jesus opened the scriptures to them. And we need the same hunger tonight. We need the same spiritual burning desire within us to continually taste and see. When you position yourself in humility, when you position yourself with a holy fear, with a turning from evil, seeking after peace and pursuing it, when you pursue the righteousness of the Lord, you will taste and you will see his miracle working power in your life. You might be here tonight and you might say, "Well, how do I know that Jesus really is who he says he is?" Taste and see. How do I really know that the Word of God is living and active for my life? Taste and see. How do I know that by raising my hands, by clapping my hands, by praising God with everything that is within me is actually going to bring breakthrough and freedom in my life? How do I really know this? Taste and see. How do I know that my fasting prayers will bring a breakthrough, will cause the ear of God to turn to me, will bring me closer to Jesus? God says, taste and see. Believe. Position yourself with a believing spirit, and the Word of God is true. He will meet us. He will meet us where we are. The truth tonight from His Word is this, that we have a friend who will never leave us, and His name is Jesus. The truth tonight is that we have a friend who will always comfort. This friend has experienced a deeper sorrow, a deeper pain than you or I will ever experience in our lives, and His name is Jesus. We have a Savior tonight who is ready to welcome us into the kingdom of God. We have a Savior tonight who is ready to forgive, who is ready to heal, who is ready to reveal Himself to us, and the Savior's name is Jesus. And this Savior, church, is worthy of our repentance. This Savior is worthy of our friendship. This Savior is worthy of our service. He is worthy of a deeper commitment from us to say, I will hunger after the Word of God. I will taste. I will commit my life to tasting of the Word of God for every situation, for every area of my life. I will choose to believe He is worthy of us positioning our lives, tasting and seeing His glory move in our lives. Let's stand together tonight. Why don't you close your eyes where you are? Just begin to invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life. I don't know where you have come from tonight. I don't know if you do not know Jesus in this place, but tonight He has drawn you here by divine appointments, and He is calling your name tonight, and He is saying the kingdom of heaven is ready to welcome you. You might be here tonight and you might have committed your life to the Lord a long time ago, but it's been a while since you have tasted of His presence. It's been a while since you have positioned yourself to say, Lord, I'm hungry for You. Lord, I need You. Maybe it's been a long time, and tonight Jesus is calling, and He is saying that He's ready. He's ready to pour out of His Holy Spirit afresh over your life. Doesn't matter how young you are tonight. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you go to a different church. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you're going home to. Tonight, Jesus Christ is in this house, and He says, I'm ready to pour fresh in your life. I am ready to meet you. Would you taste of Me? Would you see My glory in your life? Isaiah 44, verse 3, speaking to a people, if you are thirsty, if you are hungry, and I want to say this to one more group of people. If you have been a Christian, maybe you've been serving God, you faithfully attend church, you are a faithful giver, you even serve in the house of God, but you are not one who easily says, Lord, I want a taste of Your presence. I encourage you tonight to hold the Lord to His word. I encourage you tonight to speak to your soul and begin to get hungry and say, I speak a spiritual hunger. Even though I don't feel it, I want to be spiritually hungry, and I want a taste of You tonight, Jesus. Because the promise for us in Isaiah 44:3, it says, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour My Spirit on your descendants and My blessing on your offspring. And that is what we ask for tonight. So we're going to worship the Lord, and I'm going to ask, let's just take a couple of moments. God is not on a timetable. He is not on a time schedule. We're not going to take a long time, but we're going to take the appropriate time that God deserves. And I encourage you tonight, wherever you are, to open your heart, to open your mind afresh, to close yourself in with God. And I want you just to begin to say, Jesus, I want a taste of You. Jesus, I want a taste of Your presence, of those floods, of those refreshing rains, of Your mercy and Your grace once again. The altars are always open. If you would like prayer for anything, if you want to dedicate your life, if you just need prayer for anything at all, we would love to pray with you. But let's worship the Lord and let's get hungry tonight and see how he would want to pour into our lives.